Good evening. Just never know. It's so funny. Well, we are just getting into point 7, which is the guidelines, and this is the last bit. After the other points, which are the disciplines that we're given for our mind training, these are our vows of what we're going to do, our pledges, is what Ellen Wallace calls it, our pledges of mind training, or guidelines is what Chogyam calls it, what we do when we get up. How we carry ourselves through our life in terms of bodhicitta, of mindfulness and loving kindness. So it's how to do the afterward part. So it's called all intentions or activity, all activities should be done with one intention. Or otherwise, just resolve to start, just to resolve to begin. Over and over. What I always think is such the best part of our life is that we get a second chance over and over and over. So this gives us a conscious opportunity to keep trying. So, how we nurture bodhicitta, how we keep our focus. Is what Alan Wallace calls an act of will. That it's not automatic with us. We actually choose it over and over again. And of course, we have lots of habits, some of which are not so helpful. And so how we develop our relationship with our habits and our attitude and our intention is what this one is about. Just one intention, one attitude, one direction. But it's nothing that happens overnight. It's nothing that we wake up someday and all of a sudden everything is done. It's just a thing that works slowly, slowly in us. It works in us, or it works us as we work it, both ways. And it's a constant process. So you could say, if you boiled it down, this is a resolve not to hurt oneself or anybody else. It's like being a doctor. You resolve to do no harm. No harm to oneself. No harm to anybody else. It's a big resolve, but it's very helpful because there's no doubt about it. And we do harm. Sometimes on purpose, sometimes mostly by accident. So Chogyam says, our intention is to have a sense of gentleness toward others and a willingness to be helpful. And it's wonderful to see that when it happens. When it's spontaneous. I was with a friend in the grocery store not long ago, and a little old lady came along and couldn't manage her groceries, and my friend just swept them up and took them out to where she needed to go without even... it is as if her bodhicitta attitude and intention was a habitual way, and it just went through her when the situation offered itself. Oh, here, she said and picked it up. We do those things. Surprise ourselves often. But we should always take the attitude of being of benefit to all sentient beings. But if we look at our life and ask whether am I being a benefit to all sentient beings, it's a hard question to answer. I would think no. I'm certain not. But the intention can be there. The attitude can be there. And that's as much as we can do. That's as much as we can handle. It's a lot. So that was our practice for the week. As much as we could. So, what did we discover?
I don't know if any of you get Time magazine, but every year they have the person of the year that they put on their cover. Well, publicized. And this year they had a few covers. They were dedicated to all people that have been on the front lines in fighting Ebola. And so they had Dr. Brantley, you know, the ambulance drivers, the nurses, Dr. Friedman of the CDC, just everybody who's been putting all their efforts into resisting this menace, this terrible menace. And it was very inspiring to see people that had the disease and survived and are going back on the front lines to help fight it. Yeah. And people that have lost all their family fighting it. It was just so inspirational. So I have nothing to report as far as intentions. I'm very grateful. What can you do when you see sacrifice like that? You just are grateful.
Yeah. Well, that's part of it.
I'm grateful to the editor of Time Magazine, who's a woman now. Honoring them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there will be more honors that they'll receive.
Well, that attitude of gratitude is part of what this is, of responding heartfully. That certainly is a powerful response.
I'm not sure what you meant at the end by that you had nothing to report as far as like you contributing to
intentions I have in my own life that are circumstances, just examples from my own life and on my
Well, that's what I thought, and what I wanted to say is just because you don't have anything to report doesn't mean to me that you haven't done anything. To me, just holding the Sangha the way you do, you might not think it's great, but I do. And picking up energy sometimes and doing all the computer work and the dedication for this is huge.
Thank you. I benefit from it as much as anybody does.
I think probably that's the idea.
That's exactly it.
It's not I have to do it, I get to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know what he gets. He brings his flowers every week. I don't. Maybe you brought the flowers.
He was here earlier. And he had something else he had to do, but he showed up and opened up.
Right. So that and
So just the emotional response is a part of this thing that. Actually being able to respond to in such a compassionate way. So even if we can't do anything about Ebola, we can respond in that way. And then go on, as you say, with our life of responding in our own life as we do. as you do, which is all we can do. And it's tremendous, as you say. I mean, it's huge. It's lovely. Really lovely.
I find that doing a service like that, I've done a little bit, is always a recharge. Mm-hmm. I get almost more energy than I give.
Yes.
So it's a, well, regenerative procedure.
Mm-hmm.
It creates energy. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's that business of giving again, that if you begin to let go of holding on to yourself and begin to exercise generosity, then more comes, more energy and more happiness evolves, because that's how it works. In a way, you're emptying yourself in the generosity. You're disappearing in the action of it, and that leaves you free for more, and not just you or me, but everyone around us. Our whole world responds in the way that what we bring to it, and what we give to it.
So when you're generous, you're not trying to be generous.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes
you have to try. Yeah. And sometimes it just happens. You just have something that somebody else needs. Or someone comes to the door and you just open the door and feed them or help them and whatever they need. That's the best way. Without making it too special. It should be natural. You don't even have to notice it. You know, that old Zen image of Avalokiteshvara. Compassion, that kind of compassion, is like someone turning over and looking for his pillow in the middle of his sleep. It's just not quite conscious, but totally, completely natural, part of the life of the body.
Look at the Buddha. Didn't even bat an eyelash.
Yeah. Any little thing. Yeah. Which is a good subject this time of year. I've been thinking about my family and realizing there's just one that's not grown up now. Everybody else is all grown up, and I've been looking at the catalogs that offer cows and pigs and a rice field or many, many different kinds of opportunities to give through an organization that is helping in places like Haiti or Somalia or wherever the need is very, very great. And you can invest in a little tea shop and send them $25, and they will send your friend or your family a little card saying there's been a donation to the tea shop in your name.
Mm.
And that's the present for the holiday. Mm. I'm thinking that might be a good present for my kids. They don't need anything. Most people don't need anything anymore. So it's a nice possibility.
Do children expect Christmas presents from you?
They usually do. I usually send them a book. It's a tradition. Yeah.
Do they send you stuff?
They do. Even.
Do they ask you?
No, they usually don't. I think their lady friends are the ones who choose. Usually. Well, the next one of these guidelines is to correct all wrongs with one intention. So we establish the intention in the first one, number 39, and then we do a little exploration of our life and our attitude. And if there's something to fix, this is a chance to fix it. And if not fix, at least to recognize and create a relationship with whatever our mistakes and wrongs, so-called wrongs. He says, perverse circumstances such as intense sickness, a bad reputation, court cases, economic or domestic crisis, increase of kleshas, or resistance to practice. When you're in the midst of these circumstances, you should develop compassion for all sentient beings who also suffer like this. And you should aspire to take on their suffering yourself through the practice of Lojong. Some people are in court cases right now. Even if
I know, but this is, I mean, he's talking about his life most likely.
Probably.
Or maybe some friends. Yes.
In other words, if your practice becomes good when things are good for you, but becomes non-existent when the situation is bad, that's not the way. So that's the point. It's easy to be spiritual and pure and right and good as long as everything is going well, but if it gets kind of lousy out there, then that's harder to maintain compassion. He said, whether your situations are good or bad, you continue your practice. Whenever any bad circumstances comes up that might put you off, stamp on it. Not sure how to do that, but there must be ways of recognizing temptations and resisting, refusing. So that's the homework. And that seems to me to be a lifetime process. When you meet people who have made this kind of resolution, you can feel it in them. You know, people who have determined for themselves to live a life as a life of compassion as much as possible. It isn't anything obvious, but it creates an atmosphere that is encouraging to others and influences others in their attitude and their intention and their resolution. So we help each other this way all the way through. We need each other this way. Help me stamp on my kleshas. But we just have time to sit. Do we have anything we should know?
I do. Ritz baby is very healthy and well adjusted.
I saw pictures, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So big.
They put her on a diet.
Yes. No, the doctor suggested it.
The doctor suggested it.
But it isn't going to happen.
No.
You don't think so?
No. It's a baby.
She's pretty big. Very
cute.
Very, very cute. Yeah. She said she'd come back. Yeah.
I don't know. They're probably going to move to the city this month. I don't know.
Well, she said that she will come Christmas Day. And I don't know if you both know that every Christmas Day in our house we have an open house at 9 o'clock. So if you're not a Christmas person and you don't want to deal with finding a meal or hanging out, we just have coffee and eat all day. And after a certain hour, we start drinking tea, healthy things, and other stuff. So I think we have one more week before Christmas.
It's a week from tomorrow. Is it a Wednesday?
It's a Thursday. Christmas Day is a Thursday.
So it's a week from Thursday.
So we have another. So
23rd. We'll open another 23rd next.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll be back here before we go to your party.
So Britt will come for the baby, or at least that's what she said she would have to do.
That would be good. Yeah.
One minute.
1 minute.